Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he invariably offered more. Today, on this 4th of July morning, let me introduce the Brieflies, guiding us from behind the board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling downtown Vachon, and keeping us on course, even if it may be into the treetops, his former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, flight instructor. I don't know how all of those fit together, Truman. You'll have to explain it sometime.
I'm not sure either, actually. You guys are the ones that came up with all that.
Vachon Airport Commissioner, talk about conflict of interest. West Texas devotee, former military intelligence specialist, Truman O'Brien. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for that lovely introduction. I'm great. Thanks. Yes.
Good. Sitting next to Truman is his wingmate, fellow pilot and fellow airplane owner, also a treetop lander, an arbitrator, a mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, a high-end women's shoe salesperson, a Pinkerton guardian of the Boeing's first 747, a former tort law professor. You'll have to tell us what tort law really is all about at some point, and Washington State Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis. How are you this morning, Craig?
I'm wonderful. Where's the applause?
Special. I need to. I got one of those.
I know we do.
I can throw that in.
I'm doing good. I was looking at this little script that we use all the time, and we you change it up, but we all try to change it up slightly. But I got a kick out of the fact that that Truman is an aficionado, and I'm an affectionado.
Is that
I think that's Italian for full of affection.
I think that's fat fingers at the typewriter.
I was going to say, sounds like typo to me. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Is Kevin with us? He was with
no,
us
he was here a minute ago, but he dropped off. I don't know what happened to him. I'm looking for him to check back
Hopefully Kevin will rejoin us. He was zooming in and has disappeared from somewhere north of Nanaimo, aboard his yacht Opus. Kevin Jones, the voice of Indivisible Vachon, the Vachon Climate Action Group, and our indefatigable defender of democracy, who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. So, Kevin, I hope you're able to rejoin us soon. I'm Bruce Hallman. I'm zooming in from the bluffs above KVI Beach, looking out at the fireworks last night and the fireworks that will occur tonight, even though they're illegal in King County, apparently. And joining us today is Amy Dreher, Executive Director of the Vachon Chamber of Commerce. Amy, I trust all is well in your world.
Is going in my world.
I
think it is. Well, it is now. The mic's on, so now all is well in my world. And I was sitting here listening to the intros, thinking, are we playing that game Two Truths and a Lie? Like, where I have to figure out, is that like you call in and you guess if all of those things are true? Exactly. Or
you're always safe with it. They're all lies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're actually in competition with Click and Clack, the
Tappet Brothers. Yeah.
See how elaborate we can make these introductions. Before we jump in, Amy is here today to talk to us about the Strawberry Festival, this year's Strawberry Festival. But before we jump into talking about the festival, let's take a moment and check in with everybody about the special things you've experienced this past week. So, Truman, how about you?
Well, I'm going to steal your thunder. So what I'm going to do, I went to a fabulous birthday party over the weekend. This gentleman I know just had a significant birthday and invited me to his son's home, I think it was. And we just had an absolutely wonderful time. And I just want to say thanks, Bruce. That was fun. It was fun seeing everyone and fun get to say happy birthday to you. I see Kevin is trying to join us here. He's working on it, so we might have him here momentarily.
Let's hope so.
Hey, I can hear you.
Hey, there he is.
I can hear you. Yeah, I jumped off because the internet seemed to be breaking up, and I wasn't sure if I was going to come through. So if I sound like 5x5, then I'll stay on with you guys.
Yeah, you're sounding great. Perfect.
That's good, Kevin. So we're sort of talking about the exciting things that have been going on with us this week. And so, Kevin, maybe you can jump in and tell us about the 5-foot waves off of Entrance Island.
The 5-foot waves that are on the radio report whenever you call in to see whether it's safe to venture out. And we haven't laid eyes on them, which is probably prudent on our part. But yeah, so far the waves are now down to 3 foot off of Entrance Island, and the winds are predicted to be backing off gale force. So we might have a chance to, you know, cross the pond to Nanaimo maybe tomorrow.
Ah, good. So for those of us who don't know or may not know where Entrance Island is and where you are right now, maybe fill us in a bit.
Yeah, so we're in Pender. We spent a week on Quadra Island, which is just outside Campbell River, which is a place people have likely heard about. It's in Johnstone Strait, where all the winds tend to howl and congregate. So we departed there and arrived here in Pender Harbor, which is pretty much just across from Nanaimo. And we've been here on the hook a couple of days and now on the dock getting our batteries powered up. And we're waiting to see whether or not we can sneak out around the south end of Texada Island. We're at the north end of the Sunshine Coast, which is probably 20, 30 kilometers north of Vancouver. And if we can sneak out and find our way across, we'll be in Nanaimo and then in the protection of the Gulf Islands, which some call the Canadian San Juans, but I think the Canadians prefer them to be called the Gulf Islands.
Sounds like a wonderful vacation, Kevin.
We have about a month before we hit home port, so we're looking forward to a slow return back to Vashon civilization. But yesterday, there were two Jones families from Vashon here on the docks at Pender. So it's always interesting who you cross paths with, but the other Jones, boating Jones family, were here, and we had a chance to say hello before they shoved off headed north. So many paths cross here.
And I have to ask you, Kevin, is the, I think Pender is where there's a wonderful resort just kind of north and east of the marina that has a fabulous restaurant, if that's the place I'm thinking. Do you know about that? Hello, Kevin.
Well, Pender has got quite a few. Pender is like a 6-leaf clover. If you kind of close your eyes and think of a 4-leaf clover and add another couple of little bays and inlets. But there's about 5 or 6 marinas in here. There's about 3 or 4 public docks. There is the Painted Boat, I think is the name of one of the restaurants. And then there's another facility on the North Shore, I think out of Garden Bay, which has also got a pretty high-end restaurant. So there's a few places you can bring your culinary passions and have them satisfied here.
Yeah, I just realized that's just north of Poets Cove, and that's another great restaurant there. Okay, sorry.
Well, we trust you have a good rest of your voyage and that you arrive safely home.
We'll hope to check in as time goes on and let you know how things are going.
Fantastic, thank you. Hey, Amy, how about you? What's been going on with you this week?
Well, I think the most exciting thing that just happened to me was waking up to the hydros, to bring up a non-controversial subject around Vashon. But I did wake up. I can hear them on Outer Quartermaster. I'm on Outer Quartermaster, and I left my windows open so I could be sure to hear them this morning. And I heard them fired up, and I jumped up like a kid at Christmas and just, the hydros, and went out and watched them come out, and nine left this morning.
Whoa,
yeah,
really?
Counted nine leaving, and one of them, the guy who ended up coming in first, Bo Coy, was just screaming out of there. And he had, like, even coming out, like, probably a minute and a half lead on, you know, the ninth boat coming out. And then so watched him go out and then watched him come back in about half an hour. And again, Bo just screaming through, just came through. I think he was, I mean, he's almost skunked at Evan Mattingly coming around. Wow. Yeah, coming around. I mean, you just didn't even see Evan's boat, and Bo was all the way past Jensen from where I could see it. So,
wow.
I understand it was a good race. He did set the record.
Yeah, I think
today
31 minutes.
Yeah, 31 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, but you know what it was? It was the race for third was exciting because I can't remember that it was Nick and I think Mitch or maybe, I apologize if I got that wrong, but anyway, I think it was the third place boat comes through, and then there's a guy coming up right behind him on fourth, coming past Manzanita, and just, you know, you hear inching, and he just made his move probably right past the Docton Marina. No, even closer towards Jensen Point, and just kind of moved up on him. It was like, well, let's see. It was like, I was talking to my friend. I said, it was like watching Secretariat, right? Just one horse just took it, and then, you know, the race was all for third, and he made this great move coming up on to get third. So that was my most exciting event this week so far.
It's very cool, but that blows me away. Nine boats. Is that a record?
That might be a record. I mean, yeah. We had Brian Breno on here, last week, or a week before,
yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about that. Nine does not ring a bell.
No, I thought, think that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, good. Well, Craig, how about you? What's your week?
Well, aside from attending that same fabulous 30th birthday party that you had, Bruce, and boy, that was a wonderful gathering. You have great friends who hold you appropriately in very high esteem.
Absolutely.
And a wonderful family.
Well, thank you. I prefer to refer to it as my 20th birthday.
That's right. The fourth anniversary, yes.
Yes.
But other than that, it's been sort of the music on the island has just gone crazy. You cannot, I can't pick which one I'm going to. I went to the Coop, wonderful folk and blues there, and then I saw Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford looked good with a little special effects, I think. To Dig Deep, Lauren had a whole crew of people playing with him. It was a great concert. Then I went to another birthday party as well. A compatriot of mine, Kevin McMurdo, had a birthday just a few days ago. So it's been a great beginning to the warm weather.
Oh, good. Yeah. Exciting weeks for everybody. And of course, today is the 4th of July, which is its own kind of excitement beyond the hydros, all the other stuff going on. If you are interested in learning more about the hydros, the Vashon Heritage Museum has a great little exhibit going on right now on the Vashon hydros. And we have the original 1955 Ted Jones design and built hydroplane that Roger Stanley used to begin this series of 4th of July hydro races. So there'll be a sort of grand opening this Friday evening. We had a soft opening last Friday so people could see the boats before the hydroplane race. And we'll do another one this Friday. So pop over to the Heritage Museum and take a look at the heritage of the hydros on Vashon. So today is a significant day. Oh, Kevin, jump in.
Yeah, I just want to do a shout out to Roger Stanley, because in addition to his fame of hydroplane racing, he also built his own boat and sailed it off into the Pacific Ocean. And he has a wonderful photograph of elephant seals that I think he encountered on an island out like Tahiti or someplace. I'm not quite sure where he was. It's a fascinating person. So you don't have a chance to check up on Roger Stanley. He's done a lot of things that are quite interesting. So I throw a shout out there.
Yeah, if I can jump into a rabbit hole, Roger told me the great story that that elephant seal colony is about 400 miles off the coast of Mexico. And he and a friend were sailing down there. So they decided to go visit this island. And they head out and they're on a rum line. They don't have any navigation instruments. They don't have a sextant. And so they take a rum line and they forgot about currents.
Oh my God.
They get 400 miles off the coast and they say, oh, the island should be around here somewhere. So they start zigzagging and finally they see this tiny top of an island on the horizon and they head over and they go, whew, we found it finally. And they pull in, they anchor. And the next morning they wake up and right next to them is the Calypso and Jacques Cousteau, who are there to film elephant seals.
Oh, my
gosh. So they spent a week with Jacques Cousteau filming elephant seals.
Wow.
So great, great kind of stories.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So Roger is well worth sitting down and having a talk with. Today, of course, 4th of July, the day in 1776, when the Second Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence. It had actually been approved 2 days earlier on July 2nd. This is also the day that 50 years later, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day. And I think you all know who was the first person to sign the Declaration of Independence. A big signature, so everybody would know who he is, John Hancock.
Yep.
This is also the day in 1939 when Lou Gehrig gave his Luckiest Man on the Face of the Earth speech. And in 1910, African-American boxer Jack Johnson defeated James Jackson Jeffries, the Great White Hope, that was billed as the fight of the century. I'm not sure that this was before the battle in Manila and the other sort of Muhammad Ali fights. And in 1884, the Statue of Liberty was presented to the United States in Paris. It would take a few years to bring it over and get it constructed.
And by the way, that Jack Johnson fight, just I don't want to go down a rabbit hole either, but they
but
say
why not?
That, they say that after that, that was the beginning of some of the first nationwide race riots.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody was so upset. Jeffrey's a big man. He outweighed Johnson by about 20 pounds, 25 pounds, and but came out of retirement. Had to lose something like 40 pounds in order to get into shape. And it went the full 15 rounds.
Wow.
In Reno, Nevada.
So it was a decision then rather than
Oh, no, it was a knockout. The 15th. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the boxing was very different. Boxing is its own sort of, you know, can of worms, if you will. But it was very different back then. And today, two literary notables. This is the day in 1855 that Walt Whitman published Leaves of Grass. And 10 years earlier, in 1845, Henry David Thoreau moved his retreat to Walden Pond that led to the publication of Walden, or Life in the Woods. So July 4th, lots of interesting things. Yeah, Craig.
And I want to thank everybody for being here today. Since we've taken up the entire show talking about ourselves and some of these events. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I think we're moving on to Amy right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. So, Amy, tell us a bit about yourself. How did you get to Vashon? How did you get to the Chamber of Commerce? And what's going on with the Chamber of Commerce?
How did I get to Vashon? Do I get to say I didn't come here and I ain't leaving? Is that appropriate callback for that? Let's see. So I actually grew up on Vashon. We came here when I was in kindergarten. Shout out to Miss Candy. I went to the Little Red Schoolhouse on the corner. Yeah, and graduated VHS in 95 and then went off into the wider world to, you know, learn for myself how Vashon really is the best place to live. Maybe not the best place to live in the wider world, but the best one available to me in many ways in the wider world. But went to school in California and then was in politics in D.C. for about 6 years and got my fill of that. And then moved with my now wife to Denver and lived in Denver for 15 years. And shout out to Erin. She's still in Denver. We're long distance commuting right now because I did have the opportunity to start in January at the Chamber of Commerce. And it kind of felt like a job I'd been looking for a long time with a background in, you know, nonprofit management and large event management. And you know, being on Vashon, it seemed exactly the right fit for me. So I'm pretty excited. I think now is kind of a huge opportunity for the chamber, for the island, right? We're in a different space coming out of COVID. We have a lot of cultural change going on. We have a lot of challenges, but I think there's also a lot of opportunity within the challenges. So I'm excited to see what we can do and where we can go.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the plans for this year's Strawberry Festival.
Absolutely. We are definitely continuing in the spirit of For Vashon, By Vashon for Strawberry Festival. I think, you know, like many things, the COVID pandemic gave us an opportunity to stop for a minute in the middle of life, which we rarely ever have the chance to do, and really understand what we enjoyed about Strawberry Festival, all of the things that it had become and how wonderful it was, and all the hard work that went into building a festival, you know, like we had before COVID, that just offered so much to islanders, to visitors. And, you know, then with COVID, we had to step back and we are sort of rebuilding. But as we rebuild, sort of understanding what was it that we loved about the old festival. And of course, everyone on Vashon agrees about everything when it comes to how things for Vashon should be put together, which is great. That makes it really easy to understand sort of how to chart that course. But I think there were some big themes that came, you know, just really focusing on what was valuable to island residents. Obviously, the music, forwarding art as much as we can, forwarding kids' activities, family activities as much as we can, and sort of smart growth, I think, is the watchword. So we are going to have this year really good response on the vendor program, about 60 vendors all along Vashon Highway, and that'll take us all the way north to south with vendors, and about 40 island vendors and about 20 off-island vendors. Which is great. And the off-island vendors are, I think, a pretty good sort of cultural fit with the island vendors. We'll have two stages of music. The main stage, as always, well, not as always, but for the last couple of years, as always, down at Vashon Town Square, you know, on the lawn across from Ober Park. And then we have the Vashon-powered, Vashon-funded homegrown stage. At the Four-Way by U.S. Bank with two full days of music as well. And we are extremely grateful to the folks who stepped up and donated to make the second stage happen for us. And that's kind of the big highlights. Nothing wildly unexpected about festival this year. The parade looks packed on Saturday. We've got about 35 entries so far. And there is just time to get your entries in. We want everyone to participate who can. And then, of course, on Sunday, the Classic Car Parade will start at 9 o'clock. I'm sorry, well, they'll stage at 9 o'clock at VCA, start at 10, and then they will wind up down in the parking lot at the Town Square across from Ober Park for a good old-fashioned music rally and car show.
Excellent.
So
I just want to know if those 35 entries, if you're going to have a nice list of all of them, because Craig and I will be emceeing that. And every year we get the list about 5 minutes before the parade starts. Mm-hmm. And then it's never in order, of course. So we're scrambling. So
yeah, no, I was looking at that yesterday and thinking about Voice of Vashon. We have really lovely descriptions for you that were part of the Google form. So folks went ahead and put their own. I think maximum 25. I don't know. I kept them nice and short for you, hopefully. Okay. But I'll email those over to you. But of course, they won't be in order. That wouldn't be any fun at all.
Just have those descriptions would be wonderful. Thank you. It's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. And they're vibrant island written descriptions. description. So, excellent. You know.
Rather than vibrant, made-up descriptions that Truman and I used to do in the past.
On the fly.
I think you should jump in with some of those. There's that should be encouraged.
Yeah, I'm sure that we will.
So how long have Truman and Craig, how long have you been doing the parade?
48 years. No, I don't know. No. We've done it, what, four times or something?
Three or four times, I think so. Yeah.
Sounds good. We're all looking forward to the commentary. And is Voice of Vashon going to be filming it and broadcasting it?
I'll definitely be broadcast. It'll be broadcast live. And, they've been doing... what do they call that? Live streaming that they do. I think they'll probably be doing that again.
Yeah, I don't have the official notice from Kate. Either. Maybe she'll.
We might get a text from her any moment.
Send
now.
Us a message. But normally it is videoed in some fashion and then and archived at least some scenes from the parade. So.
Fantastic. So, Amy, there's tons and tons of music going on. Festival weekend. And when is festival weekend?
Sure, July 14th through the 16th. So we will be setting up the streets. We'll be closing about 4:30 on Friday, July 14th. And the vendors will start loading in, but there will be music at the main stage starting about 4 o'clock on July 14th. So we'll have music going for you. And I'm sure, I believe that Snapdragon and Sugar Shack will have music going on. And of course, you know, everyone kind of jumping out onto the main road. So lots going on Friday. I know Friday is sort of our just for us evening, but kind of hoping that these first Friday closures that we've been trying out will, you know, sort of take a little bit of the pressure off folks, for what happens on Friday and allow a little bit more, a little bit more visitorship, we might describe it, uptown. Friday will be hopping. And then Saturday morning, of course, we start right off with the parade. It leaves the Methodist Church at 11 and then heads down to the main stage. But it'll be... I have to say I'm really kind of excited. I think this year is the year that folks are ready to get out and get going, you know, like a lot of interest to it. And so all day Saturday, the vendors will be going until about 6 o'clock. The main stage is going to be going until about 11 o'clock with Publish the Quest as our headliners. And then we will have a closing party, a little dance party after Publish on the main stage. Sunday, for sure, expecting a lot of folks uptown for the car show, the classic car show. Miriam over at Island Insurance is putting that together. And she's thinking they are going to have huge interest in the car show. A lot of folks, a lot of entries. They're going to take up that whole parking lot at Town Square and probably spill over even. So that'll kind of be going from about 10 a.m. until 2, I think, is when that finishes up. And then, you know, as usual, I think it'll be a slow, mellow peter out for a festival around 4 o'clock. We're not planning on closing with a bang, but closing with some dancing on the lawn and celebration. And then the streets should be open about 5 o'clock on Sunday. That's sort of the straight up logistics of it.
You know, it's great that the car show, although it starts at VCA, is going to be right downtown. So the people who are at the festival don't have to catch a shuttle or drive their cars down there to see all the cars. And some of the cars lately in this gathering are spectacular, absolutely spectacular.
And I have to throw in a plug for our MCs for the car parade. That's going to be Captain Joe and our own executive director, Kate Dowling. So that should be pretty fun hearing those two characters call the show or call the parade. That'll be great.
I'm going to be sad to miss hearing that because that does sound like a dynamic duo for calling that. Yeah. And I don't want to forget Saturday night, the street dance will be back with Portage Phil up at the four way again. And it is their 50th anniversary.
Wow.
Yes.
No kidding. Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. So that's a definite don't miss.
I did just get verification that the main parade will be streaming, I think, and archived, or at least bits of it. Kate Dowling just texted me. Yeah, she's checking on whether the car parade is going to be videoed. So we may get an answer on that one too.
Oh, great! So, Amy, any sort of highlights of the parade that you can tease us with?
I know the Marine Band will be back. I know that's a highly anticipated event, that the Marine Band will be back. And of course, we will have Vashon's own Thriftway shopping cart drill team. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know at this point that we could have the parade without them. And our Grand Marshals this year, we just announced this week, are our Postal Service carriers and staff.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so we will be honoring them as Grand Marshals this year for their sometimes thankless but always tireless work to do their very best through extreme staffing challenges and backlogs to do their best in getting us our mail. And we really appreciate it and understand how vital mail is to an economy, to a town, to a community. So really wanted to take the opportunity to thank them. And of course, Saturday is a work day for the Postal Service. So we will also be having a sort of honoring event on Sunday at 12:30 at the main stage that we are inviting, you know, our postal carriers to, and inviting folks to come celebrate as we honor them on Sunday as well.
Excellent. And, not to get away from festival, but I just realized that this coming Friday is First Friday. And I am curious, how did the first one go for you? Are you happy with it? And
I think so. I mean, you know, kind of we joke about it, on Vashon, you've got, four different opinions about two things, and three of them conflict, and then there's a fifth that comes, flying out of the sky. But really fantastic, really positive feedback. I think it worked well for the businesses. I think it worked well for, folks coming up to visit and families. And we will be sort of condensing the closure just for practical purposes. This time we'll be closed from Bank Road to the theater, and Bank Road will be open to traffic. But we expect we're going to have a couple more folks doing activations, sort of non-town folks coming and finding a spot on the street. And I think a lot of the businesses, the restaurants were excited about it. So it's kind of the thing that I think we've all been wanting to do for a long time. And I think it makes a lot of sense for town.
Great.
I'm one person and I have three opinions. But no, not really. I have one opinion about the closing. I thought it was great. I was really looking forward to it, and I can see it when the weather is really, nice and warm. It's just one of the things that makes Vashon special. The events like the Strawberry Festival and Halloween, people come out and just love it when they can walk down the middle of the street like that, and everybody sees each other. So I applaud you on that one.
Thank you.
And the unofficial stupid bike night.
Right.
which is completely hilarious. I mean, but that is so Vashon,
Oh, and many people may not know what the Marine Band is. This is not the United States Marines. Can you tease us with what that means?
Sort of a core of island citizens who take the opportunity to have costumes and celebrate the unique diversity of our way of life and the place where we live. And it is a visual stunner not to be missed.
So is there going to be a children's parade this year, and how does that work? And if people want to be involved in the children's parade, get their kids involved, what do they do? Is there registration? Just show up?
It is a just show up event. It will leave the Methodist Church on Saturday at 10:45. So for the kids parade, come on down, start lining up at about 10:30. We don't require registration, but the kids should definitely have an adult with them. No registration. Come on up at 10:30, leave about 10:45, and then the community parade starts at 11. So it is open to all.
Fantastic. Yeah, Truman?
No, I was just going to say that for Craig and me, doing the emceeing, that's always so much fun. We get such a charge out of those kids. Some of the costumes and some of the little float apparatus that they come up with are hilarious, just very, very clever. Come on out for that for sure.
So for the, can people still register for the parade if they want to have a float in it? And for the classic car parade and show, could you tell us a little bit about how that works? And if people are interested in getting involved and they haven't already, is it still possible?
Absolutely. Yeah, I will, probably close that form at the end of this week. I need to go ahead and communicate with everyone who is in the parade. And so do need to close that out pretty soon. But yeah, if folks kind of want to come in at the last minute, of course, they are always invited. And, you know, if folks do are struck by inspiration the morning of the parade, you know, and you want to find a spot at the very end, not behind the fire and rescue folks, because of course we'll have the rigs emptying the parade out. But, you know, it is, again, it's for Vashon by Vashon. And, you know, we don't want anyone to not have a chance to participate in the parade. So if we could get those forms in, though, you do have the opportunity to have your description read by our very own Truman and Craig here. That is that's the biggest plug I can make. And, you know, the other thing that we are looking for is volunteers. We really need volunteers to keep the parade safe, to be parade marshals, to help with Strawberry Festival. So if you go, the website for festival is thisisvashon.com/strawberryfestival, and we've got a volunteer tab there. And you know, we definitely need folks. It's a couple hours, and you will get to see part of the parade go by. You know, when your parade marshaling duties are done, feel free to join the festivities. But we'd love to have a few folks step up to help keep us as orderly as possible and safe.
So I know one of the questions that always comes up is what activities for kids are there this year, and will there be a carnival, or will there be rides, or what will be available for kids?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the carnival.
I know. I didn't want to start.
The albatross-shaped carnival.
Exactly.
There won't be a carnival. And, you know, just to be the heartbreaker that I am, it does not look like a carnival will be returning to Vashon. And the truth of that is that it just doesn't pencil out for the vendors. Mm. You know, if we raised quite a bit of money, we might be able to tempt a vendor over here. But, you know, if they're coming over, they have to come over to set up. The boat costs for them are staggering, of course. The labor costs, putting up labor on the island or having them go back and forth, right? Where do you find spots for them to stay? You know, I do think there are so many generous folks on the island who would be willing to help us find space for it. But, you know, at this point, it really is sort of, why would a vendor come to Vashon when they can drive down the street, you know, to Auburn Days, right? And sort of make the same money or more. So the carnival is a hill that I don't know that we're ready to climb yet. Maybe someday. I hate to offer hope because I don't know how to solve that problem yet. But the great news is that we have a couple great zones for kids going on. So Ober Park, we're going to start reactivating that. The goal is to have, as we grow festival, smart growth for festival, continue to have even more kids and families. And Ober Park this year will have the Puget Sound Lego Train Club that will have a working Lego train that'll be going throughout the weekend. And they're also going to have, I think it's a 4-foot or 6-foot topographically accurate map of Vashon, Lego map of Vashon.
Really?
Yeah, which is going to be pretty cool. I've seen some of it coming together, and they're going to be there Saturday with that. They may stay Sunday. Again, it's all volunteers, so they're not sure yet, but hoping they'll be the weekend. But also, there's going to be a bunch of Legos for kids to play with. Just a giant Lego free play area down at Ober Park. And that will be adjacent to Reptile Lady at Ober Park, 1 o'clock on Saturday, daughter of the always popular Reptile Man. And Reptile Lady will be here with a petting zoo, which will include so much more than reptiles. And, you know, Reptile Man and Reptile Lady are some of the biggest attractions. And then we are also working with, I think we will have inflatables at the back lot at the theater. We're looking at that right now and seeing if that's possible. And I think that's coming together. And a couple little game stands and, you know, things like that. So there's going to be family activities throughout. And then, of course, Island Queen and Friends have their shenanigans. They've got their fun zone right next to Island Queen. So we're trying to hit up, you know, kid-friendly, family-friendly spaces to the north and the south, right? So it's sort of integrated with the festival. It's not, right, you know, a specific
separate
destination.
Right.
So be forewarned if you're walking through Ober Park, but wear sandals so you don't step on a Lego.
Yeah.
No, that all sounds fabulous. I understand you're not being able to bring over, you know, the full carnival. Boy, I can't imagine the expense these days, not to mention the uncertainty with our ferry service these days. But no, it the whole The whole thing sounds wonderful. And by the way, I want to reassure individuals about Truman. We'll be on his flatbed truck out here in front of the Voice of Vashon, and he'll have his shorts on, which normally requires you to wear the darkest glasses possible.
Sunglasses you can find.
But he's already started to darken up those legs. He's got his shorts on today, so I got to hand it to you there, Truman.
Well, does the term fish belly white mean anything to you?
Yeah. Is this part of the reptile lady petting zoo?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they are a little scaly. I mean, I guess yeah, it might fit.
So, Amy, let me rescue from this line of questioning here. tell us about the behind the scenes. I mean, there's tons of work that go into it. There's people who pick up the trash and who do all kinds of things. Could you talk a little bit about that and how people can volunteer and get involved?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that makes Strawberry Festival and Vashon run and owned is that it is Vashon done, right? So journeymen are stepping up to do trash management for us, right? And that's a great, you know, it's a sort of a, you know, a fundraiser for them, an opportunity for us. And that's how we do it. And, you know, we have on-island vendors doing everything from, you know, trash management to music management to the kids' activities. It truly is a buy-in for. And that's, I ran Denver Pride Fest in Denver for quite a few years, and it was wonderful as an event, and it was huge as an event. And, you know, most of the inside services were contracted, right? So the road closures were contracted, the trash was contracted, you know, the power was contracted. Here, you know, the sort of blessing and challenge with Strawberry Festival at the same time is that it's Vashon community who steps up to do this. You know, Laird Gaunter has done the main stage and the stages for us for years and years in a very accessible way for the island. And, you know, Troy and Marie are doing the music or programming the music after, you know, a decade plus of Pete and Allison doing the music. And, you know, I think we just kind of named it for Vashon by Vashon, but in the recent years, but it always has been. And, you know, so that's... As an event producer, it is much more challenging, right, to pull together this crew of, you know, kind of sort of coalition of the willing, so mm-hmm. to speak, right, to do it. It's more challenging and it's more work. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, it really shows in the event. It really, you know, the ownership that we all feel of Strawberry Festival is because it is for us and by us, and yet another reason to volunteer.
I have to tell you that the reports I'm getting on you, Amy, is that there is so much energy radiating from you that it's infecting everyone, and that it's bound to be a spectacular event, all because of the energy that's coming out of your aura.
Thank you. Well, you know, folly ado. Mania is catching. Yeah, is that
there? You go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you. No, I'm. It's pretty exciting. It is it's a threat and an honor, right, to be at the helm of Strawberry Festival. So yeah. You know, I want to get it right for folks, and I, you know, I hope to build even more opportunities for people to have real ownership in it.
That's great.
Bill, Amy, tell us a little bit. You grew up on Vashon. You grew up with Strawberry Festival. How do you compare the Strawberry Festival when you were a kid and the things you did and the carnival and those kind of things with the festival that you see now and what you see happening in the future?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great question. I mean, you know, we love to talk about our halcyon days here, you know, and just sort of the days of yore. And obviously I have those fantastic memories. And I think those memories are still being made for the kids, you know, here on Vashon. I think the kids are still growing up with kind of the feelings I had. Of course, I went to the carnival, and carnival was kind of my daycare for like 3 days. You know, it was like, here's $5, make it last.
Yeah. Go get lost for 5 days or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I remember one year, it was the first year that I remember, it was kind of down by Happy Garden, you know, down by the Chinese mm-hmm. restaurant right. and that lot there. Yep. And then my most sort of last memory of it is it was up on the VES fields, you know, in the elementary school. And their theme that year was the California Raisins. Mm. and they played nonstop. I think this is like some sort of union violation, but nonstop they played I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye. Like nonstop. I'm not kidding you. I don't know if that was the only music they could afford to license, but even as a kid, I just remember it. I can't listen to it anymore. But, you know, I just also have these tactile memories associated, you know, with it, of like playing the games and winning the California Raisins, which was, of course, the coolest thing ever at the time. You know, but I just remember, even as a kid, I was like, this is maddening. This is absolute madness.
Could you go on all the rides? There were some rides I'd come off of and I was green.
No spinning. Amy doesn't spin. No. Yeah, no. I think, you know, they had that, the Centrifuge, basically, ride, yeah. Modeled ride. Yeah. I did the like little tiny roller coastery kind of cart thing deal. But yeah, I remember being sent to the carnival and just sort of spending hours and hours there in the sun. And then, you know, we'd go to Mud Bogs and we'd do, you know, there was a big artist village in Ober Park. So I, you know, kind of to pivot Bruce and say, you know, what about the future? You know, we cannot go back to the past. That's just something that's true, right? We can never do that. We can visit it, but we cannot go there. We cannot relive it. And so where do we go from here? You know, the emphasis on kids' activities, more and more with a little bit of a chance to plan ahead. I'm excited about who we can bring in years to come and really fulfill, you know, all of the promise that we have with all of the creativity on the island, right? We have a pirate camp on the island, right? We have preschools on the island. We have so much. We have, you know, O-Space offering amazing programming for kids and youth on the island. One of the things that I'm looking forward to, hopefully next year, we wanted to pull together for this year under 21 youth event at the theater backlot. And, you know, brought together Vashon Youth and Family Services, VARSA, Orbit, you know, Dove Project, kind of the youth agencies. And they weren't able to get it together for this year. But, you know, they're looking at doing a big collaborative event on Saturday night next year for youth. And, you know, Jennifer at Island Queen will be having sort of a game area for, you know, like the tweens to teens kind of thing, right? It's what happens after dark for kids, right? You know, the little ones go home, but what happens, you know, how do we sort of capture positive activities for our kids? So, you know, I want to, as we move forward, I really want to keep that feeling that we had of, you know, a wonderful family space that is, it's not so crowded. You can't walk down the street, right? But there's, everywhere you do walk down the street, there's something to see, you know, there's a different neighborhood to be in and enjoy, you know, that we have the opportunity for new bands to come to Vashon, you know, for us to listen to some new music from over town and get inspired and get ideas, right? Because we get inspiration from new things. But at the same time, you know, who's on Vashon that we got to hear, right? Exactly. This is festival. You know, you're like, I hear these folks every year at festival. I look forward to it. So, you know, I'm going to try to split the difference with it, and keep finding ways for community input that are productive. I'll say it that way, but very excited for the future of festival.
Great.
Yeah. We're running down on time here, but maybe, Amy, if you could take a few minutes here and sort of recap, you know, start on Friday and walk us through the festival. What are the things for people to look for? How can they get involved? How can they get information if they're looking for information? Mm-hmm. You know, just take us through what's going to happen over the 3 days of festival.
Absolutely. Well, I do encourage folks, we have, I have the page, the website pretty built out for Starberry Festival, and it's thisisvashon.com/strawberryfestival. You can get there directly there, or you can go through the chamber website. We've got links at vashonchamber.com, and that'll sort of walk you through everything that's going on. But Friday is really the kickoff. We have some community events going on Friday. You know, the Vashon Heritage Museum is doing their ice cream social, you know, on Friday with the Burton Beats. I was so sad to miss the Burton Beats this year. I'm going to try to get down there this year. I love them. Great little homegrown band. So the Strawberry sorry, the Ice Cream Social will be going on Friday afternoon. The main stage starts at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon with Loose Change. And then we have Adrian Xavier, who's a, you know, great sort of island connected reggae guy. And then we have Buckland Hill Country Band, which I'm super excited to have a country band on Vashon on Friday night. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. They're doing the primetime slot in the evening. And then we're kind of close it out. And I think, again, you know, look for everything else that the community is doing, you know, head over to the Sugar Shack, you know, head over to Snapdragon. It's just going to be, town is going to be jumping. Saturday morning, we start at 11 with the parade. If you are in the parade, you'll get an email, but don't forget to line up between 10 and 10:30 for the parade. And then the kids parade starts lining up at 10:30, kicks off at 10:45. After the parade, you know, sort of filter around and don't miss Reptile Lady down at Ober Park at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, Bruce.
Amy, let me ask, is there going to be the pancake breakfast?
There is not. I know. Shock and, wow, and disappointment. But yeah, Sportsman's is very, very enthusiastic to do it. And we looked for a partner to work with Sportsman's on it throughout the spring, and did find someone. Actually, the Masonic Lodge is going to step up and partner with them next year, but just kind of didn't have time to get their feet under them to partner up to do it this year. And that's, you know, that's really been the story for a lot of things with festival. We're all still tired. You know, we lived through a couple of 3 years of trauma, and, you know, we're tired, man. you know, people kind of want to have someone to kind of, you know, step with them through the journey. So no pancake breakfast, but Rotary will have the strawberry shortcake, and Vashon Mori Community Council will also have strawberry shortcake. So, you know, it's the great shortcake bake-off on Vashon. And you can get Rotary's strawberry shortcake, homemade biscuits at Pandora's Box in the food court. And the Vashon Mori Community Council will be right next to Vashon Pub and Smokehouse with their strawberry shortcakes. So the other piece we're looking at doing is a strawberry pie eating contest. On Saturday at the main stage, midday, so don't miss that. And then, of course, we'll have published a quest, you know, closing out the main stage on Saturday night with a dance party after. Sunday, do not miss that classic car show. It is going to be one to watch. I think people are really coming out of it. Miriam at Island Insurance is putting that together, so head on over to their website and give her a call. Or actually, I think if you just Google Vashon Classic Car Show Strawberry Festival, VCA is actually hosting the page. And I don't know if they're still taking registration, but that'll happen. And then, you know, it's going to be rocking down at the main stage after the car show. It's just going to be full tilt down there on Sunday afternoon. You know, Sunday's usually quieter, but I think we're going to be going pretty hard until about 2 or so on Sunday. And then the main stage will go until about 4.
Great.
Okay. And street dances?
Street dance Saturday night, 7 o'clock up at U.S. Bank with Portage Phil, 50th anniversary.
Excellent.
So if somebody wants to find a schedule of which band is playing at which stage when, is that available on the website? How do people find out?
Absolutely. So the schedule for the main stage and the homegrown stage are both at thisisvashon.com/strawberryfestival, and there's a little drop-down tab there, and we have pages for, you know, the music, the parade, the community events, for everything that's going on.
Will the Beachcomber have something along that line, do you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Liz is getting that together. You know, Liz is always doing the Lord's work for us. And, you know, she's getting that together, and that will be available in the Beachcomber the week of festival as well.
Great. Well, Amy, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this stuff about festival. I mean, festival is one of the hearts of the island. You know, lots of hearts on Vashon, but festival is right there. So we really appreciate that.
Absolutely. No, thank you. We have a lot of awesome stuff coming together with the Chamber this year, and I can't wait to come and hopefully talk about the Troll Project.
Oh, yeah.
Soon at a following Brown Briefly. I would love to talk a little bit more about that, because that is another, I think, a new heart of the island that is coming. So I appreciate the chance to talk about everything that we do, because it really is, I hope, at the core of a lot of great memories for Vashoners.
I gotta say, Amy, I think the Chamber and the festival are extraordinarily fortunate to have you. You're energetic, you're organized, you're articulate, you're informative. I mean, you really laid it all down here today, and I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, same here.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll have you back for sure.
I hope so. I hope so.
Probably and, often, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, I love to hear myself talk just as much as the next gal.
So. Join the, fit right join in the here. Crowd.
That's what several years in D.C. does to you.
That's right. That's right.
Well, hey, Amy, hang around and chat with us if you feel up to it. And we're going to just divert a little bit. We only have about 4 or 5 minutes here, but I thought it would be interesting to ask Craig about the recent spate of SCOTUS decisions that sort of dropped this past week on us. SCOTUS, of course, the Supreme Court of the United States, a decision on affirmative action, a decision on student debt relief, a decision on state redistricting. Businesses allowing to be refused service based on religious beliefs, and a free speech issue about not limiting online stalkers. Are any of those of interest to you, Craig?
Like Amy said, I'm tired. well, 1 out of 5 is not bad, actually, when it comes to those opinions. Yeah, they're all fascinating as can be, and they've kind of made new, you know, Supreme Court jurisprudence. The affirmative action program, case, that's a very confusing case, and it's a case that typically probably wouldn't have been taken by former Supreme Courts, because they're. A party has to have standing in order to bring a case. As we say, there's got to be a case in controversy. There's actually got to be a case. It can't be something that people are concerned about. So that case, the fact that it was taken, picked out of cases and taken up to the Supreme Court is a little troubling just in that regard, because that means you can kind of pick any case you want to make the points you think you have a majority on. Very, very difficult. Although that the business refusal case is the one that I'm making reference to, actually. That case hopefully is limited because it's supposedly based on free speech. Some people are coming back and going, oh, you can do anything now. You know, any business can refuse anybody on any basis because of their race or their, you know, gender or whatever the case may be. But that's not true, although it's not a bright line. And the other problem with a lot of these cases, and I think it was Justice, either Douglas or Thurgood Marshall, when they came up with the Miranda warnings, mm-hmm. had a great quote. He said, you've got to give constitutional rights breathing room. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, sometimes we have to err on the side of protecting them rather than removing them. And here I think the Supreme Court, for the most part, in all of these cases, except for the state redistricting case, has moved in terms of limiting and not protecting those rights. It fell on the other side. Mm-hmm. And that can come back to haunt us. The other thing, of course, about all these cases is it points out how important voting is. You've got to vote, because the election of Donald Trump resulted in the current Supreme Court.
So what is the possibility of expanding the court, and what is your opinion of that?
Real quickly, we have a history of expanding the court. It's not a radical idea. However, I have heard President Biden is not currently in favor of doing so. It's been so long since it's been done. It's considered kind of radical, and of course you'd run into, you know, you've got two houses of in the legislature. Yeah. Kevin, I see your hand up.
Yes, I wanted to just emphasize and second the encourage people to vote and make sure people vote, but encourage others to vote. And as we start to move into the 2024, I'll just put a shout out for Indivisible Vashon. Our website will again host opportunities for you to encourage people in other districts and other states to vote who may have the hopefully rebalance some of the shifts that we're seeing in.
Great. Well, we're about out of time, so let me give you a little preview of what's coming up on the Brown briefly. The next edition, we're actually going to begin a two-part series, hearing from opponents and supporters of the fire district levy increase that will be voted on August 1st. So next week, we'll hear from levy opponent Scott Harvey, and then the following week, we'll hear from levy supporter Dr. Jim Bristow from ForASafeVashon.org. So should be an interesting two-part series. And if you're interested in the fire levy, listening to both of those will give you both pros and the cons of voting either for or against the increase in the levy. So for Kevin, Amy, Truman, Craig, I'm Bruce Holman. Thank you for joining us on the Brown Briefly, and we will see you again next week. Thank you.
Y'all later.
Thank you.
Bye now.